The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
And also with you.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? Okay, well, you know, we'll get better today. As you can tell, I've been kind of doing some theme music for every week as I can find it. This one is about fighting battles, so we're going to talk about that. We've been walking through this series over the last few weeks called Invisible War. Everybody say Invisible War. If you missed that joke from last week, I completely messed it up like three times. But in order to kind of talk about what we're going to talk about today, I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Now, if you've been here for a while, your Bible might just fall open to Matthew chapter 16 because we were there for a while. Matthew chapter 16 is page 822 in your hardback pew Bible that's near you. And I want you to start at verse 13. Now, that's where I would like you to meet me this morning. Now, listen, the invisible war that we're talking about is spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. And it's a war that many of us choose not to fight. So when we hear that over and over, the refrain over and over, this young lady saying, this is how I fight my battles, over and over and over, so many of us, so many of you choose not to fight in this war. But here's the problem. When you choose not to fight in the war, you're still fighting. You've made a choice. You see, this invisible war that's going all around us, the spiritual warfare that's affecting you, that's affecting me, that's affecting all of our lives, is something that we have to be a part of. And if you're a Christ follower, you're already drafted. You're already drafted. We're talking about Veterans Day, right? I grew up down the street from this guy named Mr. Morris. Mr. Morris is an interesting fellow. If you ever met him, you wouldn't know what to do with him. He is the only person I've ever known that was drafted to, went to Korea, and then went to four times to Vietnam. Volunteered four times to go to Vietnam. He walks with a limp. I remember as a child, my parents would leave and they would go up the street, and I would walk up the street and I would stay with Mr. Morris until the bus came, and he would teach me all kinds of fun things. He had guns laying around the house, and so he would show me all kinds of things. The first time I ever learned how to clean a gun was Mr. Morris. First time I ever dismantled a Porsche was Mr. Morris. The first time I ever helped dig a foundation for a house by hand was Mr. Morris, because he's just a different cat. He literally built, he doubled the size of his house by himself. By hand. Because that's just who he is. He's a vet. That's who he is. That's what he does. He's a guy that I think death is actually scared to tell him that he's dead because he's just going to fight it off. Like, he's that kind of guy, right? But here's the thing that I know about Mr. Morris. Mr. Morris knows what the battle is, what the goal is, and how to fight it. And so if he says, hey, this house needs to be built, he's going to go at it with everything he has. If he says, hey, this car needs to be rebuilt, he's going to do everything he possibly can to fight it and to get it done. He's going to learn what he needs to learn and put it together. And so many of us refuse to have Mr. Morris's type attitude, and we tend to have the, well, it'll just go away. We'll just let it pass. We'll look at it and go, oh, it's not really a big thing. But here's the thing. If you do not prepare for Satan's schemes, know that he's already prepared for you. Amen. He's already prepared for you. And he's already coming after you. If you call yourself a Christ follower, you say, hey, that Christian thing, that's me. He's coming for you. So you better be prepared for what he's going to be throwing at you. And so today, I want to speak to you simply about walking in the authority of the Spirit of God. Walking in the authority of the Spirit of God. This is the power given to us by Jesus Christ the day that you become a Christ follower. And the significance of living in that power and authority is immense. It is immense. If you are a Christ follower, you have this power and must walk in it, which brings me to Matthew chapter 16. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you have found that, hopefully I've given you enough time to find it, I want you to stand in the honor and reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 13. The word says, now when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, whom do people say that the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one he was the Christ. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you give us your power, that you let us to walk in your authority, that you help us to walk in this world with strength and with honor in ways that we don't feel like we can because of your blood. Jesus, we know you left to send us the Spirit so that we can be filled with it and walk out in that authority, being prepared for this battle, so we can walk and fight this invisible war. Jesus, strengthen us. Help us as we go through our day. Help us to live our lives for you. And Father, if there's anything that comes from me today that is not of you, strike it from the memory and hold fast to the things that are of you and completely through you. Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Oh God, my strength and my Redeemer, in whom I place my trust. In your Son's mighty name we pray, and all God's saints say, amen. Amen and amen. Have a seat. Thank you so much. Listen, Christ has given every follower the power and authority to defeat Satan and all his evil spirits. Amen. Christ has given. Thank you. Y'all catching on to that. That's so good. And so I'm going to give you a soul tattoo real quick so you can grasp this. I want you to hold on to it. It's very simple. Up here on the screen, it's right here. It says this: the power that raised Jesus from death is resident in me. Matter of fact, I want you to say that because it's already geared towards you. Say it. If you're a Christian, I want you to say it with full voice. Ready? One, two, three. The power that raised Jesus from death is resident in me. It's resident in me. Think about that. Death couldn't hold Jesus, right? Like death, the thing that kills everything, the thing that I think killed a possum outside my door today, the thing that kills everything couldn't hold Jesus in the grave any longer. That power that rose Jesus from the grave is resident in you, Christian. In this passage, Jesus is saying that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. He's making that very, very clear. His power is greater than the power of the enemy. And when there is a head-on conflict between the power of the enemy and the power of God, the power of the enemy loses every time. That was a good place for an amen. I'm going to say that one more again, and we'll get it. Okay, here we go. His power is greater than the enemy. And every time they go head-to-head, the enemy loses every time. Amen. Okay, there we go. All right, we're going to work on it. How do we then walk in this power, this authority? I mean, how do we walk in this power? The world we live in, it really has two realms, if you think about it. There's the natural realm, there's the spiritual realm. And we need to be able to live in the spiritual realm in a way that affects the natural realm. It has to be a both and. And so many times, especially in America, because we're in a Western, you know, Romanized, idea, we tend to put the natural world here and the spiritual world over there, and we don't really think about it. It doesn't really affect us. But yet it's affecting everything you do. Everywhere you go, everywhere you look, it's affecting you. Like, here, let's just be honest. We just passed Halloween, right? Do you ever notice, just, maybe you should do this, but just look at the news and the uptick of the ludicrous stuff that happens around Halloween. It's just ludicrous. Every year, all of a sudden you start hearing things and seeing stuff, and the crime rate literally, you can look at the statistics, literally spikes around full moons and Halloween. It's just as weird, and we go, it's a coincidence. It's not. It's not. It's not when you have whole covens of witches right outside the city praying death on every pastor in the city. It's not when you have Satanists on campus and around here that are literally praying for Satan. It's not when you go into the Capitol building in different states and they're literally trying next to the Ten Commandments to get a statue of Satan placed up. This is not a thing that we talk about and we act like, oh, it's just over there. No, it's here. Amen. And it's happening. And it's around us. And so listen, Jesus says, listen, don't embark on the mission until you've been clothed on with the power from on high, from God. So the disciples actually waited after Jesus' death in the upper room where God's Spirit was released on them. And in the gospel, Jesus models for his church what he wants us to do, including living in God's power constantly. And when I read the gospels, when I was reading them this week, I see the head of the church not just telling us what to do, but modeling for us how to do it. constantly doing it. Here, see if you've seen this. If you ever read the Gospels, you know that Jesus goes out and he does ministry, right? And we always talk about that. He goes out and he heals somebody, helps somebody, talks to somebody. You know, he does all kinds of stuff. But then what does he do almost every time? He retreats to go do the work. See, so many times, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We talked a couple weeks ago that something is the work. Do you remember what that word was? Prayer is the work. Every single time he would retreat and go spend time with his Father. And we would spend that one-to-one time, that's where he did the work. That's where he was being filled. When's the last time you've talked to your Father in that type of intimate way? When's the last time you've had that intimate fellowship where you've been filled with the Spirit? That's the work you need. And then you come down and pour out of that. There's so many of us that are pouring and drawing from a dry well, hoping that the dust and bugs at the bottom of it is helping somebody as we throw it on top of them. But Jesus says, I need the living water to fall on them. I need that water to fall on top of them. That's why he said, as the Father sent me into the world in his high priestly prayers, I am sending you. That the last night at the end of his earthly ministry, he's saying, now I'm sending you the same way that my daddy sent me out. I'm sending you the exact same way. And so he did, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. He did only what he saw and heard from his Father. He did only what he saw and he heard from his Father. In Acts, in the early church, living out the life of ministry, Jesus Christ was, they were without the incarnate Jesus. In other words, they couldn't see him, they couldn't follow him, they couldn't be after him. They were kind of like, oh, what do we do? In other words, it had to be done when Jesus ascended into heaven. And so Jesus said, if I ascend, I can send you my comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one whom which you can carry out the life and ministry in this life. And when Jesus was living and ministering on earth, he was living and ministering as a man, which is great, but showing us as a human being living in relationship with his Father. It's that intimate relationship that he's doing. That gives us the backdrop that we can actually jump over to Ephesians 1 if you want. And you can see in Ephesians 1 that Paul literally says, this is how he lived. He says in Ephesians 1, he says, I pray that you'll gain insight and understanding. I pray that you'll get revelation into the surpassing greatness and power of God that is at work within you. Later on in Ephesians 1, Paul says the power and work that's in you is the very power that raised Jesus from the grave. How many of us have ever thought that our bodies are vessels to carry that type of power? Like, have you ever thought of yourself as a vessel that can carry that type? I mean, I've seen myself as a vessel. A cracked vessel that leaks a lot. I mean, that's what it is. I kind of think of myself like my car. Every time I park somewhere, I have to look under my car and there's like a little fluid. And I'm like, what fluid is that? Is it antifreeze? Is it oil? Like, what is it? That's the way I look at myself as a vessel of God. But here's the thing. The thing that I know about my car is that if I keep checking the fluids, then I know when I have to refill. I know when I have to pull up the hood, pour in the oil, and make sure I'm good. And so many of us forget to check our own fluids. So many of us forget to check when God needs to refill your life. So many of us don't know when we need to seek the Spirit of God to be refilled. Because you're a leaky vessel. Amen. You're a cracked vessel. Just like me. Just like my car. I love my car. Somebody should buy it. But in the end, that's what it is. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is resident in you. How many of us are need a revelation to understand what that truly means? How many of us ask, do I need more power? Like, you need more power. Let me just go ahead and answer that for you. Yes, you need more power. Yes, you need more power of God. And what hinders us from the life of God's power is not the need to get more power, but instead that we release the release of power that we've already been given in our own life. We don't know how to let it go. We don't know how to let it out. We have it. We hold on to it. We go, well, this is cool. Yeah, okay, well, do something with it. Right? Like, what do you have to do? You have to aim it in the right direction. You have to do something with it. But some of you just hold on to it like, this is so cool. It's kind of warm. I just kind of hold on to it. But what's inhibiting us from releasing God's power in our life? Listen, you cannot minister in God's authority when you're not living under God's authority. You cannot minister in God's authority when you're not living under God's authority. Jesus Christ, again, living as man on earth, 100% man, 100% God, lived underneath his Father. He constantly said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. He would go back and seek the Father and pray to him when he went to choose the 12 disciples. This is the God of the universe, right? This is the God of the universe that was here from eternity past. He didn't really need to sit down with God and be like, hey, so which 12 am I picking today? He knew. But what did he do instead? He took a step back. He went and did the work of prayer and said, God, tell me, lead me, guide me, show me where to go. And then he went. How many of us do that? I'm guilty. I don't. I struggle with that constantly. And so, if you're not believing me, let me throw a couple of verses on the screen just to kind of help you out. First one's coming from John 5. It says right here, but I do nothing without consulting the... I'm going to try it again. But I do nothing without consulting the... I do just as I'm told. My judgment is absolutely just because it is according to the will of God who sent me, not merely my own. John 5 and 30. Here's another one from John 8. It says this, I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't, for I say only what I've heard from the one who sent me, and he is true. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize that I am he and that I do nothing of my own, but I speak what the
Father
taught me. You see, he operated in authority because he was under authority. He understood exactly his place in the world, and he functioned from that place. Jesus did only what he saw and heard from God. And the reason Jesus' power was released and available for all of the Gospels is because he chose to live in that way, not in rebellion, in submission. Now, I know that's a dirty word for some of us, right? Submission. We don't like that because, you know, we're Americans. We don't submit to anything. We don't submit to kings. We don't do that, you know. That's not the way we do. We fire our politicians sometimes. Right? Like, this is what we do. But Jesus says, hey, if you're going to follow in my kingdom, I'm the king. You get to come in my kingdom. So that means you're a subject. Now, I bring you up to be my brothers and sisters. I bring you up to be co-heirs with me. And what a beautiful thing that we are able to rule with him in eternity. Yes, and amen. But he says, hey, in this time frame, I'm going to put the Spirit over you. And I want you to release that power. But in order to do it, you have to be under my authority. So we're talking about, if you're missing it, we're talking about holiness. Where in your life are you struggling with holiness? Where in your life do you need to repent? Where in your life do you need to open up and go, God, I can't do this. Each of us should ask, do I have any independence in my life? Do I lack submission? Do I have rebellion in my life? Jesus understood how important that he did not have rebellion in his own life, yet we live our lives wholly set up in rebellion towards God. And every time we rebel, we need to turn back. As the Father sent the Son in the world, the Son sends Jesus, sends us into the world. And if I'm on earth with a mission of the Father due to the work that Jesus did, then I will, because Jesus made a promise not merely to do everything, but he also said that we can do greater works than he did. That always messed me up. Like when I read that verse the first time, I was like, hold on, so I'm supposed to do more than what Jesus did? I'm supposed to do greater works than what you, like, whoa. Like dudes turning water into wine and stuff, right? Like raising whole people up from the dead. I'm supposed to do something more? Like, I don't know, is there something more? But that's the beauty of it. If released, if by the power of the Holy Spirit that you allow his power to be released, it's amazing what you will see. It's amazing what you will do when you walk in the authority of God. You see, Jesus sets captives free. I love that. He sets captives free. He heals diseases. The gospel is presented clearly. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. It's so hard to walk in that type of authority. Like, have you ever come across a pastor that walks in that type of authority? It's a little freaky. Yeah. Like, we Heather and I have been at places and we've seen pastors that walk in that type of authority, and people will go, well, he's arrogant. No. He's just so sure of the power of God in his life that he allows it to flow through him in such a way that it puts you off. And it's funny because then I read the Gospels, and I see people that run into Jesus, they're like, oh, he must think he's something. He's like, no, I'm walking in the authority of my daddy who sent me. I'm walking so much in the power and the strength of my daddy that I don't have to worry about you no more. I live for what he's asked me to do, not what you've asked me to do. And it's so beautiful when you see people walk in that authority. I remember mothers in my church growing up that would walk in that type of authority, and they'd come up and tell you something, and you're just like, yes, ma'am. Because there ain't nothing else to say, right? But yes, ma'am, right? And there's a beauty about that because we're under the authority of the Father. For me to do ministry, the ministry of Jesus, I'm going to need a power that is greater than what I can muster up in my life. I'm going to need something more than my own little self working, something than my standing in the mirror going, John, you got it. You're good. You're amazing. You're losing weight. You're not as fat as you used to be. People love you now. No. I need more than that power. Right? I need more than my Wheaties. I need more than my oatmeal. I need more than all that. I can get all the protein I want in my life. But if I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit coursing through my blood and pushing me out, then when I walk up to somebody and I go, let me tell you about the kingdom of God, they're going to look at me and go, what? Who? You see, you should walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the authority that Christ has put in you, that's resident in you as a Christ follower. And so for me to do that ministry means I have to walk in that power. Rebellion will marginalize the power of God. Rebellion in your life will marginalize the power of God that raised Jesus from death from being released in your own life. Where are you being rebellion? Because you need to put it down now. Don't let rebellion grow. From the same effect, the Israelites had the option of going into the promised land. They'd heard of the giants, right? Like they were in the edge of the promised land. They're right here. And they said, hey, send somebody from each of the tribes. So they sent people from each of the tribes. 10 dudes came back and they're like, yo, there are giants. Grasshoppers are bigger than me. We brought whole grapes back. This is bigger than my head. Like, I don't know. You know, like you, they're freaking out. And I get it. But what did they miss in that moment? You see, they let their fear overcome them and they forgot the God that was in front of them. So many times, and I'm not talking about behind him. I never say he's behind you. He's in front of you. If you're a Christ follower, he's in front of you. He's the one that led them to that point. Is he not? Amen. Was he not fire by night and smoke by day? Amen. Did he not give them everything they need? Did he not literally throw bread from heaven that if you actually translate the Hebrew, it translates to, what's this? That's what manna literally translates to. What's this? It fell out the sky. They said, we want meat. Quail just ran through the camp. Like, they had everything they wanted. And when they got to the promised land, they said, I can't do this no more. God said, no. I walk before you. I gave you this land. I gave you these people. I gave you this property. This is yours. But so many times in our life, so many times for you and I, we refuse to walk in the Spirit and walk in the things that God has promised for you. You allow it to fall away. You'd rather wander in the wilderness for 40 years and eat off the sand and the whatever he's going to throw at you instead of being in the promised land where God has put you. There's so many of us right now that God has said, you should go do this. And we go, if I do that, it's going to, yes. But if I go, yes. But if I obey, yes. Let me just say, yes. It's going to cost something, but it's worth it. It's going to hurt a little bit, but it's worth it. It's gonna take some time, but it's worth it. All of it is worth it because it's by the power of God who leads you, who guides you, who sends you, who calls you. So I have to change my perception of what may seem like innocuous issues in our life, which are relatively, which in reality are very, very important issues of God's authority in my life. The little places in my life where I choose to rebel and God said, I need you to be obedient here. Where God says, put that down. And you're like, if I put it down, that means, yes, it does mean that. But those places of rebellion are quenching God's authority in your life. The Spirit is screaming right now. And so many of us are like, I don't hear nothing. I don't hear nothing. It's amazing. I found this out with our first child that, Aaliyah, she would, scream whenever mama left. Like whenever she left. So she would leave and I would just like kick her out of the house or she'd leave and go with her girlfriends. And Aaliyah would like stare at me and just scream. And she sounded like a tea kettle. So, you know, it's just, which is a perfect pitch. It was like mixed between that and a pterodactyl, what I imagine that sounded like. And she would stare at me. She wouldn't blink, which should have gave me a precursor to Nehemiah who didn't blink for the first 3 months of his life. And so like she just stared and screamed and it bothered me. And then I learned something because I didn't know what to do, right? Like, Heather would come home and she's like, how was it? I'm like, she just screamed. She's still screaming. You should go pick her up. And as soon as she picked her up, she'd be quiet. But like, I would hold her and she'd, and I used to get so frustrated. It was like anger would well up on me. And I'm like, I just wanted to be quiet. And so I learned one day, if I put her down and I go into the other room, literally 30 feet away, and I would just sit and go, Jesus, help me. Help me, Jesus. Right? Like, slowly but surely, the screams weren't so much in my life. Here's the thing. What I found out is like any new daddy, I was an idiot. Because my daughter was screaming because she needed something. She needed her diaper changed. She needed food. She needed something in her life. And she was unable to get it because her daddy was an idiot and didn't get it for her. And what happened is I learned very quickly in my life, because I was selfish, instead of taking care of the things that she needed, to go into the other room and learn to quench it out of my life, get it out of my ears so I didn't hear it anymore. I could turn on ESPN and just be there for a second, take a lot of deep breaths until I felt okay. Now listen, I know some of you guys that have been around parenting are like, oh, that's okay, got yourself together. And that's true. I did have to get myself together. But what I learned is how to ignore the voice of my daughter. There's so many of us in our life where the Holy Spirit's been screaming long enough and you've walked into the other room, you've turned on the TV, you've churned everything out, you've drowned it out, and you're ignoring the voice that says, I need to work through you. I want to work through you. But your rebellion, you're running. Your every turning from me is getting that voice quieter and quieter. And what do you need to put down? What is keeping you from walking in the authority that God is in you right now? That He's placed through His Spirit in your heart right now. I've asked this every week of spiritual warfare, and here's the thing, guys. I really think, like, this is our key that we have to understand. Like, if we don't understand where we need to repent and put down our rebellion in our life, the rest of this is a wash, because all our enemy is going to do is use that point to invade our life over and over and over and keep having victories. And then we're going to be frustrated and go, God, why does He win? I can tell you why. Because we won't put down the rebellion in our life that gives Him a foothold. Remember when Jesus was in Nazareth? The scripture says He could not perform miracles because of their lack of faith. Unbelief can compromise the release of God's power within you. Authority is an absolute that we have in Christ, but power is relative. Let me say it again. Authority is an absolute in Christ, but the power is relative. It's related to life posture. That's why my being set free, my restoration in Christ, my living free is more than just being about me, but it's about using that power out of there. It's a beautiful thing. And so the kingdom of darkness must try to compromise the power of God in me through fear. How many of you guys are living in fear right now? By unbelief? By rebellion? And other sinful thoughts and emotions in your life. Therefore, every time you read the Bible and it says therefore, you should wonder what it's there for. So therefore, here it is. I want to align myself to release the power of God and His authority in my life. In everything I have. There's a difference between striving and aligning. There's a difference between striving and aligning. Because so many of you guys heard, well, I got to strive for it. No. Align. Right? A couple years ago, my first little stint of getting in shape, Annalise was about to be born. I decided to start running. I wanted to run a 5K. And so I take my dog with her. She's too old now. But I would take her with me. And if you know anything about Maggie, she hates thunderstorms. That's just a fair warning to you if you ever babysit her. She hates thunderstorms. And so whenever thunderstorms going off, she loses her ever-loving mind. Whenever Lincoln scores a touchdown and hits the cannon, she loses her mind. It's amazing. So I'm running out in the rain. Heather tells me, because, you know, my bride's like, baby, you don't have to go running. I'm like, no, I got to run. I'm going to get my 5K goal. I got this little British woman in my ears that says, you can run now. And I followed her direction. So I went and ran with my dog on my side. And as I was running, another dog came to approach me very, very quickly in a way that I was not comfortable. And my dog ran around my legs. And so when that dog jumped at me, I punched it. Yeah, I'm a ninja. I punched it in the face. And it went down like a pile of bricks, like it should have. And I fell on my back and I messed my back up. Now, a couple of funny things happened from there after I punched this lady's dog. She stood about 30 feet away from me and said, I'm sorry your morning started off this way, which was not helpful as I laid in the middle of the street. Right? Her dog got up and ran, and my dog sat next to me, which was not helpful either. I called Heather from my back, literally in the rain, and said, help! And then found the power to get up. Right? Now, in that moment, I was striving because I'm just dense enough in my head that I got my hind parts up and I walked the quarter mile back to my house as slowly as I possibly could. When I got in the house, I could not bend over to take off my shoes. I just pulled them off and took my clothes off and went to go get dry. I was in so much pain. I strived home. later on that day, well, actually later on that week, Heather took me to a chiropractor. And the chiropractor took a little x-ray of my life, my back, and said, your back is supposed to be like this, and it's kind of doing this S-curve thing. And so he took me on the table, and he did some things that I honestly think he's a deacon in a church. He was just taking out his frustrations on me. But he twisted me up, and he pushed me, and he put his knee in my back, and he pulled me different ways, and he cracked. I heard cracks in places that aren't supposed to be cracked, I thought. But he was like, oh, this is good. And here's the thing that all of a sudden happened. I could stand up a little bit. He goes, go home and ice it and come back in a couple of days. I came back and he did it again. Twist. I didn't even know my big self could twist that way, but it, you know, twist me in all kinds of ways. And he goes, just keep coming back on a monthly basis. We're going to keep you aligned. You see, what's amazing is as I became aligned, the pain relieved itself. As I became aligned, all of a sudden I could stand up straighter. As I became aligned, all of a sudden I can move in the way I need to move. All of a sudden, when I became aligned, I could do the things that my body was meant to do, and my body started functioning the way it was meant to function. You see, striving got me to my goal, but got me in a lot of pain and not at the speed I needed to move. Striving got me to the place where I could limp to the goal, but where I really wasn't even able to function the way I was supposed to function. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the strength. I was walking around like I was 80, like a hunchback. I couldn't do everything that I needed to do because I strove in my own strength. But when you align yourself with the power of God, when you get aligned with what he wants to do in your life, he will send you out and his power will work through you. You see, don't strive. Be aligned. Where is he telling you to get rid of something so you can be aligned? Where might he be twisting you a little bit in a way you think, that's not supposed to move that way, so that he can get you back in alignment so your body can function, so your soul can function the way he designed it to function? Because so many of us think we got it right, when really he's the one that's changed. There's a difference between striving and aligning. Bringing yourself in alignment with God is what you're called to do. The second thing is this. Jesus gives his authority to us. Jesus gives his authority to us. At the moment that you and I receive Christ as Savior, we're raised up and seated with Jesus Christ on the right hand. At the right hand of the Father. And with Jesus at the right hand of the Father means that his authority of what God gave to him is now shared with us. He gives us his authority. We're joint heirs with Christ. And that's something that we should get excited about. Is that an amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, I'll take that. So why do we have frowns on our faces then? See, exactly. That's always got me. Why do we have frowns on our faces? We have the authority of God in our life. And we're just like, it's supposed to snow. It kind of sucks. Like, that's our attitude, right? We have the authority of God. Why do we live defeated? Why do we look around to our friends and family and they're like, well, I guess they're just going to join that cult. I guess they're just going to go over and do this thing. I guess they're just going to live their life in sin. I guess that. No, why do we live defeated? Why wouldn't we strive to fight in war against these very things? Right now, the authority of God given to Jesus Christ who's raised him from the dead is mine. It's yours, Christian. It's yours. It's in your life. You can live and walk with it right now, right in me, right now. It's in you. And the gates of hell will not stand up against his church. That's what I love about this passage. Every time I look at this passage, it makes me laugh because I go, gates are meant to keep things out, right? Like, I don't want people in my backyard, so I have a gate. My neighbor's putting up a gate right now. There's fences. That's meant to keep people out, right? So, it's funny because so many times we're on the defense from hell. We're thinking hell's attacking us when really hell's the one with the gates, not us. I mean, I may have a water pistol going at hell, but I mean, that's good. I got it. I mean, if I just got a super soaker, I'm all right with it. But think about it. Their gates will not prevail over us. Their gates will not hold us back. Jesus modeled it for us. He worked with a group of men that started ministry with nothing, and the gates of hell did not prevail against them. He sent them out, and the gates of hell did not prevail against them. The authority and power given in other places of scripture, but in Matthew 16 and 19, he gives the keys to the kingdom of Peter and refers to it as authority. Keys refer to authority. He says, I give you my authority. I give you my authority here on earth. As a matter of fact, he does this right now. And this is the third point I want you to get, which is real quick. We receive authority at salvation. You get the keys to the kingdom at salvation. You got them. And here's the fun part. All throughout scripture, like if you go back to Revelation, it talks about Jesus coming in with a key, right? Like if you look to my bag right now, I have keys. I don't know where all my keys go. When I get to a lock, I feel like a janitor. You know, I'm just trying key after key, just trying to, hoping one opens something, right? I got key. I add another key today. I got keys. It's kind of wrong in many ways. You know, I need to purge my keys. This is actually singular. It's funny that it's translated in plural, but it's actually, you're given a key to the kingdom. It's kind of like the key to the city. It opens up everything. It's the master key. I worked for a church once. I had a master key. I loved it. I would open up every door just for fun. Like, no matter what the door was, I would just open it up. I got the key. You know, hey, what you need? I got that. You could open up every door in the church. I even had a little card, and I would put it, like, I'd put it on my person. And so when I need to open stuff up, I would just, like, kind of bump into it and then open up the door. They'd be like, oh, that's smooth. Like, I know. I got the key. You know, I just kind of show off a little bit. Like, I got the key. I know what to do. I even had a little app on my phone. I could mess with stuff, lock people in. It was great. So the funny part is that if in me just describing that, it was three different keys. It was my app on my phone. It was a card in my pocket. And it was a key in my hand. Jesus has the key. And he gives you the key. The key to heaven. The key to life. The key to everything. I need you to get a hold of this. That we receive authority and power of Jesus at salvation, and I don't need to strive for it. I don't need to grovel for it. We all have been given the exact same authority in Jesus Christ. There are different gifts, yes. There are different talents, yes. There are different measures, but we all have the same authority and the same power. It's yours in union with Jesus Christ right now. In Colossians 2, it says, in Christ, the fullness of all deity exists in bodily form. And then it goes on to say, you have been given the fullness in Christ. So all the fullness of the deity of Jesus Christ in bodily form, in your union with Christ, has been given in the fullness of God, is ahead over every power in your life. Every authority that you need. It's not a power and authority I just have for having it. Right? It's not like some of the things you have in your house that you just kind of have for having it. It's not like your good china. Remember your mama had the good china? Yeah. I don't know if we have. Do we have that anymore? Do people have that? My mom had still has it. It's a cabinet of good china. You don't ever touch it. We touched it, I think, twice in my life. This is not God's authority. You don't put it in the china to look at and it's really pretty. No. This is the regular dishes you use every single day. This is something you should have. This is something that might break. It's something that might break you, but it's worth being used. Amen. You see, the purpose of the kingdom mission I'm on, and it's over every power and every authority. You see, since our mission is to set others free, let me say that again. Since our mission is to set others free, I can I be honest with y'all? I get absolutely nauseated with me-centered Christianity. Okay. I really do. And it frustrates me. It frustrates me. Because that's not real Christianity. This whole me-centered, I'm gonna figure it out, I'm gonna do it, No. It's about being equipped for a purpose. I don't want to be content with staying the way I am. I tell people all the time, it's okay not to be okay, just don't stay that way. It's okay. You gotta start somewhere. Okay, so it's all right. But I want a holy discontent about where I fall short and living in the fullness of God. I want to struggle with a holy unction in my life. And I can be used in a greater way for His kingdom. Is that you? That's me right now. We have to throw off the shackles of thinking, how can Jesus benefit me? Just stop. Throw off those shackles. Rather, the motivation for your relationship with Jesus should be to bring glory to Him and enjoy His fellowship and advance His kingdom forever and ever. If you're thinking, what's in it for me? You're thinking the wrong way. Amen. So many of us have you know, we got the stay out of hell for free card, right? When you're kids. Hey kids, do you want to go to hell? No? You should accept Jesus. Like that's how a lot of us came. And no, it's not about whether or not you're staying out of hell, whether or not you can smell like smoke. No, it's about the kingdom of God and the fact that the King has come and established His kingdom and given you and you and you the authority and power to use to expand His kingdom right now. That's what it's about. And if you're focused on, well, I just don't want to burn, you've missed it. You've missed everything that it's about. And you'll never really grasp the fullness and beauty of what it really is. Psalm 8:6 says that when God created mankind, He put earth under human authority. We're created just a little lower than God and a little bit greater than angels, which is kind of cool. And when we become believers, we recover this status, this authority that you see in Genesis. Unbelievers don't have that same authority. They're underneath the influence of the enemy. So living free means being set free from the power and the authority of Satan and being released to operate in the power and authority of God has given us at salvation. As I land, I just want you to hear this. The importance of being biblically bold means that you get to face Satan's kingdom. You see, in this invisible war, you actually have to face his kingdom. And the prospects are a little bit scary. It's a little bit scary when you actually face the kingdom. There are stories that Heather and I could tell you about spiritual warfare in our life that probably give some of y'all the chills, just to be honest. We could tell you about demons being in our house. You know, and some people would be like, oh, well, yes. I can tell you about my family background. But what I will tell you is if you're not willing to claim the power and authority of Jesus in your life, if you're not willing to walk in that, it will overwhelm you. It will overcome you. I can't tell you how many times, even in our new house, we've walked in and said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're not of Jesus, you do not belong in here. Now notice my children always stayed. But I can promise you other things did not. Amen. I can promise you other things did not. And I can promise you that in my life and others' life, I've watched my children, family, friends react as I've claimed Christ's Spirit in my life and said, by His Spirit, if it is not of you, you do not belong here. You see, you have that power and authority. And so many of us in our life, we look at our sickness or we look at our finances and we look at our struggle and we just go, I don't know what to do. But we can't ignore our enemy. We can't ignore our enemy. Why? 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert. Why does it say be alert? Because Satan, your adversary, roams around seeking people that he could, they give them a bad day. Let's put it that way. To give them a bad day, but rather to destroy and devour you. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for you and saying, oh, you're off. You're not willing to claim his spirit. You're going to fight me. Okay. This will work really well. I got you. You see, it's real easy then. When God and His Word, when His Spirit is not walking before you, it's very easy to take you over. It's very easy to implant fear and pain and struggle in your life. You see, if there is a predator in this physical war who wanted to destroy you, or if you're in a war zone, you needed to go down the street to get some bread, you would be alert at a level that's different than a regular day, right? Amen. Like if we lived in a war zone, you would have your head on a swivel, right? I remember spending time in the Don Bosco Center down in Kansas City. And when you heard pop, pop, you didn't walk towards it. You didn't go, who's shooting off Black Pat? No, you knew exactly what it was and you retreated back inside. You kept your head on a swivel. Why? Because right down the street they were selling crack. And occasionally there was a drive-by and you had to keep your head on a swivel and know what's going on. You see, when you're in those type of places, you look around, you know what's going on. You have what we call situational alertness. But so many of us in our life don't have that. Peter says, be alert because Satan is out to destroy. We cannot be passive, Christian. You can't be passive. We must exercise the power and authority in order to live free and triumphant in your life. To have authority is not, and not to use it does not do us any good. You have to use it. We must appropriate it, since we're talking about appropriation now, right? We have to appropriate it. I don't have to live mired underneath fear or self-hatred or anger. Instead, I can live like a triumphant one. Like God made me to be. Demonic spirits are in constant reality in Jesus' life. Every time he's walking around, does he not run into demonic spirits constantly? He walks into town, demonic spirits are like, ah, right? Like he goes across a lake, they show up. Everywhere he goes, demonic spirits show up. But whenever he shows up, they make themselves known. When he makes himself known, demonic spirits cannot rest underneath the presence of light. You see, Jesus is light. Jesus is light. Amen. And that's a beautiful thing. Like, try this when you get home. If you don't believe me, go into a closet, close the door. It's dark. Well, turn the light off. It's dark in there, right? Besides a little crack around there. It's dark, right? Yeah. And then open up the door. What happens? The light comes in. The darkness doesn't flood out into your bedroom and start taking stuff over. No. That's never what happens, right? The light comes in. That's a beautiful thing. You ever notice that a candle doesn't cast a shadow? Because light itself does not cast darkness. No, 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 no. The light in your life can overtake all the darkness that is there. God is saying, hey, I today want you to be free in me. I want the light that is within you, the power and the authority that I've asked you to walk in that's within you. I'm asking you to let that go out into this world because we live in a dark world. We live amongst a dark people. We live in a place where there's darkness everywhere. And in the same way, believers, we have to move into a ministry of power and authority where demonic spirits are going to be manifest. They're going to be in your life. They're going to show themselves if you choose to walk and know that this war is going on, but they will reveal their hand and we have power and authority over them.
Amen.
Through the Spirit of God.
Thank you.
You have that power and authority. You have that choice to actually do it. And when we have seen and when we joy and delight in the beauty of the Spirit, you can do so much. You can walk in so much. Listen, I hope you're, if you're a Christian, especially if you grew up in conservative circles like I did, I hope you're sufficiently uncomfortable. I really do. But the reality is if you ignore this war, you are putting aside the thing that God wants to release you to be at war and fight for. Listen. I want to make us uncomfortable. I want to make it just as uncomfortable for you as I do for the demonic spirits in my life. And the truth is that I believe and I live this and I try to. And we live with a lot of fear and demonic spirits. But if they know that they can't get a stronghold in my life, then I'm going to go to war with them. I believe that we're seeing demonic manifestations all around us, everywhere we turn. Would you call rampant divorce a demonic manifestation?
Yeah.
I would. Would you call large numbers of prodigal people running from God, from their physical parents, a demonic manifestation? I would. Would you call unbridled anger a demonic manifestation? Yes, I would. Would you call abuse, physical, emotional, sexual, whatever it might be, a demonic manifestation? Yes. Yes, I would. We may be fearful and think that these are coming out left and right, and they are. But we have power over them. We should do the same thing Jesus did, which is confront them in the power of the Spirit. Shine light where there's darkness. Have scripture in our mind and our heart and be ready to pour our lives into those situations. Listen, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get dirty. This isn't a pretty Miss America passage. I apologize. If you signed up for that, there's other places you can go. This ain't it. This is the place where I'm asking you to get dirty, get your hands dirty, your life dirty, because this is what the Spirit of God is asking you to do. You we're talking about the God of the universe, right? Who came down from perfection to this, for you. And he loved you enough to do it. For Job, it was an affliction, but it turned into a blessing. For the disciples, it was fear that turned into a blessing because they were willing to live in the Spirit. For Moses, it was fear, and he actually took it into his own hands. Some of us want to strive and take it into our own hands. But God said, no, I'm going to put you aside and wait till you're too old to do anything good, and then bring you back and lead everybody out. For you can go back to Joshua. Joshua was one of two that came out of the promised land and said, we can do this by God's might, and then had to leave, church folk. You ever try to do that? He had to leave a bunch of church folk. They're like, oh, I don't know if this is really going to work. Right? I mean, keep going all throughout scripture over and over and over and over. These men and women of God that lived their lives fully for him, walked in the authority, they exercised their authorities, and they have people and children and places and things in their life that were able to be overcomers in their life by the power of the Spirit. Listen, if you're willing to walk in the power of the Spirit today, if you're willing to labor under much in the spiritual realm, you will find freedom. You will find release. You will find so much more authority than you ever thought you had because you're willing to walk in the power of the authority of God in you. And so I'm going to give you the soul tattoo again. I'm going to land it here. It says this. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It's in you. You can have it. Listen, if you're not a Christian today, this is for you. I want you to have that power. I want you to walk in the authority. I want you to have that power in your life. I want you to be able to look to a spirit and say, you have no place here. I want you to be able to pray that over your life and others' life. I want you to be able to walk as light in the midst of darkness. But listen, the first step you have to do is submit to the authority of God. And if you're not a Christ follower, that's your first step, is say, hey, I'm going to do that. And if you've never done that in your life, if you've never had a day in your life where you said, I've submitted my life to the authority of the God of the universe, to King and His kingdom, then today's your day. Today's the day in which you submit yourself to that authority. You say, God, I have nothing. I got nothing to bring you. I don't bring anything to the table. I'm not extra special. I don't do all those good stuff. But I want you, because you're calling me to yourself. If that's you today, then here, listen, there's prayers in the front of that Bible. Grab it, open it up, and start reading those prayers. Come up here a little bit later on and talk with me so we can begin to walk through what it looks like for you to make the next step and receive that authority in your life. But listen, if you've received that authority, don't start now striving for it. Find the places in your life where you're out of alignment, where that pain is showing up, where that pain is shooting up your back. Well, you find the pain from your lower back that's all of a sudden hurting your neck or your leg. It's amazing how when you're out of alignment, the other places that begin to hurt in your life. And God says, listen, I want to align you. And it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's worth it. Because when I align you and you get right where you're supposed to be, I'm going to release every single bit of my power in your life. So you need to be aligned. Today's the day to ask for that alignment. No, I'm not going to hear and actually bend you, but I'm going to say, listen, I want to align you with Christ by asking you to give up the rebellion. I'm going to ask you to align yourself with Christ by confessing your sin. I'm going to ask you to align yourself with Christ by putting down the fear in my life. Where are you scared to move with Him? Where is He calling you to move? I'm going to ask you to renounce the enemy, to renounce the things in your life that are holding you back. Today, I'm going to ask you to step back and say, Jesus, because you are raised from the dead and I have that power in my life, I give it all to you. Maybe that's something as simple as a significant other. Maybe that's something as simple as your schooling, your job. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your lack thereof. Maybe it's your money or lack thereof. Whatever it may be. Open your hands. Give it to Him. Let Him align you. And release His power in your life. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much that you allow us to walk in the power of your Spirit. Honestly, it amazes me over and over and over that you expect us as Christ followers to do greater things than you. It is amazing that by your Spirit, you have called us here and you have brought us here today and you have called us to be yours by your power, by your authority, and that you send us as light into dark places. Sometimes we even seem small, like a tiny little candle. But Jesus, we know that when we walk into a room, we fill it with your light and we push the darkness out. Help us. Please help us. Please expose in us by your screaming. Please expose in us exactly where we're in rebellion, exactly where we live in fear, exactly where we are fighting against you so that we can be in alignment with where you want us to do and walk in your authority. Help us not to strive, but to find you as worthy. We ask all of this in your name. And all God's people say, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.